Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. And Edwin is back for another rant. Hi, Edwin, how are you doing?
Hello, Martin, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I gather the gremlins got you, so you got some new kit.
I'm trying to drive this new machine. It's a little bit difficult. I'm not that IT inclined, and my IT person's been very, very, very busy. So my other machine that I normally drive on a Monday evenings it's got the blue screen of death, apparently. So hopefully my IT guy reckons he can, pull everything down and transport it over to this one. Not as efficient as you are with all your spaghetti junctions there at your studio, Martin.
No, well, in fact, over the next few days, I'm going to have to be doing a bit of studio rebuilding. I'm having some work done, so that'll make things a bit different. So, in fact, next Monday, we won't do a rant, but what we will do is we'll do a live rant on Tuesday next week. So that's 8 days' time. So, folks, you can join the rant live and comment on our conversation as we go. And as for the blue screen of death, Edwin, I can't help feeling you could apply that to the Australian economy as well.
It really is. It's the energy, the cost of energy screen of death. Everything that goes with it. I mean, we're talking about manufacturing. It's a graveyard. It's a black screen of death. It really is a. This is something that. TGB put up on X, and it's nothing different to what you and I have been talking about, what we've been saying, what would happen. And if you keep on increasing the cost to produce anything here in Australia, obviously we're going to have to be going looking overseas, and we're going to be compromising on both on price. We're going to be paying a lot more at the end, and we're also going to be compromising on the quality and the quantity of goods that are going to obviously be used in the construction industry. So that is very, very worrisome. Transport costs are on the rise. Storage will also increase. And let's not forget, if you've got an investment property and by way of a small manufacturing plant or any type of industrial or commercial property in Melbourne, Victoria, you're going to get taxed to the hilt. And this is going to be passed on to the consumer. So, again, for the next 6, 12 months, 18 months, I don't see a construction cost coming down at all.
No, absolutely. And, you've got to ask the question about the shape of the Australian economy and, where growth momentum is going to come from. But, of course, the amazing news is that the property sector is still booming. So, of course, that's where the future of the Australian economy is. It's going to be all based around the property. Well, if you actually believe the latest spruiking here, top auctions hit as spring volume surges. Interestingly, of course, the auction clearance rates, actually, if you look at them, again, this is from Domain. Just remember, everybody, what we should be comparing is not the number reported to the number sold, but the number listed to the number sold, which will give you a very different number. But it amazes me, Edwin, we got all of this charting of prices booming, blah, 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 all over the place. And, when I look at that, I start to say, well, hang on a moment, how much of that is true and how much isn't it really? But then you have this whole string of reports about this is all to do with PropTrack. So PropTrack releases this report every now and again, and so the Central Coast is where smart property investors are heading. You should look at Meadow Heights, also look at regional towns. Regional towns, regional players rake it in. Investors, of course, go. No. Cities North is for the investor's destination. Get your foot in the door. This stuff is just incredible, Edwin. The truth is that we have almost nothing going on in the economy other than property. And of course, everybody's spruiking property to high heaven, which is a million miles from where things really are. Although I note that Spacious did actually put some information up, which was quite interesting, comparing the house prices, the median house prices in March compared with more recently, September. And, well, what do you make of it?
Well, a couple of things. With regards to the spiritual mind, all that he's doing, and I can, as I've been saying for a while now, and that is that you have to spruik the market. You have to start driving buyers into the the off the plane dog boxes and the new subdivisions that are just not getting built. And because they can't get with so many issues. And as I said to a young couple that have come on board for us to help them look for the first a principal place of residence and the first home buyers, they were looking at subdivisions in the Northwest region, in the West region, and a house and land block. And I said, guys, a lot of these areas that we've earmarked, a lot of them, they really haven't had the test of time to for the weather, for the climate, for the nature to test all the civil works and the earthworks that have been happening there. I mean, we're facing issues in Jordan Springs. We're facing issues down in down towards Badgerys Creek and all those areas there. I mean, we're trying to build and we're raising levels in your Box Hill regions, where they're raising the levels of the ground by 100 mils in order to get subdivisions through. I mean, this is crazy shit that's only going to hurt people going down the track. Not only that, but we've also got a diminishing land envelope or block of land. And as I've been saying for a very, very long time, that the values in the land, the actual structures depreciate. That's why you've got issues of depreciation with regards to apartments. That's your favorite thing there. But also with homes themselves. So sooner than later, the new shiny, glossy homes that are built on 250 square metres of land become old and tired post 5 years. And that's when the issues start happening, and that is where you can't get the builders back in. So you've got to drum up all this in order to push for those new developments. You've got to push this narrative, Martin. And this is what we keep on saying over and over again. Beware of what you are buying, where you are buying, and why you are buying. All these one-trick ponies in other parts, other states. It's very difficult in these one-trick ponies regions where they're taking investors as well to determine the highs and the lows. I mean, I've seen WA. Go from 150 to 550. One would think overnight, but then when they go to 550, 560, then the mines shut down, and then they're back to you can't even sell them for 150 again. So there's a lot of information, a lot of noise, a lot of emotion, and as I keep on saying to our clients, you just got to take a deep breath. Step back or step high and look at the landscape and absorb it all in before we move forward with emotion. And this noise that you get from the mainstream media, this noise that you get from spruikers and that, heightens that that emotional, reduces the emotional filter in buyers, and then then you've got FOMO, obviously. But look, in regards to Spacious, whatever it's called, other than the fact, I told you so, it's one of these things that people have also got to be careful. The people that need to get into the market, that want to get into the market, and that are holding on to some of these reports. Don't forget that 3 months ago, 3 to 6 months ago, I was being criticised by Spacious and their followers as to my predictions that the market was only going to go up in the Sydney regions, and a couple of other main cities. And again, here we are. So why are they no longer dropping the tables or the charts of the the price reductions on property. Because again, I say, and I challenge them, when you've got people that don't understand the real estate industry and aren't on the ground, again, there's noise that needs to be filtered both from both sides, from those that are begging for the property market to go down, those that are begging for the property market to go up. When if you're in the market or if you're looking to get into the market, there's a lot that goes on, and unfortunately, with so much noise from both ends of the spectrum, Martin, it's a wonder how many are able to navigate through the decision making process.
Well, I want to make it quite clear that these average prices or median prices in large areas are completely meaningless. They actually don't tell you anything useful at all. In fact, I believe that they are actually deceiving. And the reason for that is that within the average, you've got quite a broad spread. And of course, at any given time, properties are going in and coming on the market, going off the market, et cetera, et cetera. And so unless you can be clear that the mix of property you're measuring at two points in time are the same, you've got no chance of being accurate. But then if you look at what's actually going on, I can point to, in these same areas, some prices going up, but some prices going down, and some prices going sideways, and prices being reduced. So actually, I don't think these generic median reports, whether it comes from Cotality or Spatials or anybody else, is actually useful at all. In fact, I believe it deceives more than it helps, because what it does, it assumes in people's mind that every property in the, you know, Sydney region has gone up by X percent or Y percent, right? And it's not true. It is just not true. So when you actually look at a property on the ground in a local area and then apply, I don't know, a Sydney region average to it and expect it to be up or down, you're deceiving yourself.
And this is why I say there's a lot of noise that people need to filter from both sides of the fence, from all sides, because you and I understand the arena. You and I understand the ins and outs through your reporting, through your analysis, through being on the ground. Your history with being a building inspector, surveyor, it's rich and valuable assets that we can pass on to our clients, our followers, and our viewers, and that's what we intend to do and we purpose to do on the show. So when you've got all this, as I say, I call them noise, because a lot of it is what it is. And this is what we're going to also unpack later on in the rant tonight, is that whole the post that I did on the weekend with regards to that a particular property in the Inner West. And that in itself is an interesting, and it highlights what you and I keep on saying over and over again. And it's going to highlight, it's going to emphasize the points that we're making.
Absolutely. And, I always want to come back to, when you are buying a property, you are buying a property in a particular location with particular characteristics and a particular local market in the area that you're looking at. And unless you do go granular, unless you actually look at the local information down to the postcode or suburb level and then parse out the different types of property that are going on there, you don't really have much of a compass. So that's the first point. The second point, of course, is the availability of information, as we've been saying, is getting worse and worse and worse. So for an ordinary punter, trying to actually get good information about what's going on down on the ground, it's becoming more and more difficult. Why? Because some of the data sources that used to be available from the local governments have been outsourced to private people who now actually sell it through corporates and, of course, spruik it to high heaven, and you've got to pay if you want to get it. Or if you go and talk to a real estate agent, well, they're going to give you the truth, aren't they? So it is very difficult for people to try and navigate the locality. And to my mind, unless you find a way of doing that, unless you get that local intelligence, you're going to make bad decisions.
You're going to make bad decisions because you're going to be driven by emotion, the wrong information. And this is why we go into the whole arena and the whole narrative say to people, the selling agent is not your friend. And people go along with that. And this is when a lot of mistakes are made. But that's the game. How long have we been saying it? We've been saying this for years. And I've been saying this for even way before, from my early days, even in selling, because there's a lot of emotion that goes along with selling as well. And what one of the things that we focused on when I was on the dark side of the real estate arena, in the dark, in the dark side, before I came over to the light, it was, hey, you had to make the whole experience very, very emotional, because we knew that the ones that become emotionally attached to the property, that were going to be the ones that are going to be paying well over the odds, and depending on what the property was, where it was, it was going. That's in a way sales 101. So from a buyer point of view, from a leasing point of view, it's you got to be informed, and also from an investment point of view. So this is the what you're talking about, the helicopter perspective of the mainstream media. Like as much as a bit, people are saying, oh yeah, head north, head south, head east, head west, head this, yeah, do this and do that. I mean, but what are the factors that are influencing a lot of those markets? And you and I talk about the regulatory changes to the tenancy regulations, how that's going to affect it short term, medium term, long term, how that's affecting current markets in the Sydney region according to Domain as well. We're seeing that firsthand with some of our clients that were looking for property in certain markets. Why? Because in these markets, the a lot of the properties that are now coming on the market for sale were properties that were put in the short-term rental lease in the holiday seasons and on a fixed-term lease for the duration. But you can't do that anymore. And people are dumping those properties because the numbers don't work. The yield to the borrowing and having to pay the bank, just those numbers don't work. So therefore, they've got no option, no choice but to sell, which then raises the amount of properties on the market in those areas. Then people start shitting bricks and they say, what's going on? And then at the same time, you've also got the age of the properties and people have to downsize and. You got to look at the trends and the flows and who's influencing what market and for what reason. But hey, that is why people follow us on the Monday Evening Property Rants. That is why our show is informative, and that's the reason why we got the following. People can be one step ahead of the game.
That's what it's all about. And just to underscore the spruiking, I thought this was quite interesting. This was actually. Reporting saying construction has started on Townsville's largest over 50s development. So this is the restored estate for the over 50s. Lifestyle homes rising. The lifestyle community will include resort-style outdoor pool and indoor pools, dining and barbecue areas, a sports pavilion, wellness centre, cinema, as well as a gym, pickleball courts, bowling green and green spaces. Now, let me just highlight the fact. These are not cheap. These are actually targeted at a very particular set of residents. In fact, nearly 40% of Townsville residents over the age of 50, much higher than the national average of 21.5%. And so that's who they're trying to learn. They're aiming at those who want to downsize. But you're paying through the nose for these. You know, you're paying for all that extra stuff, right? And just another example, close to home for me, high-end units hit the gong, right? This is another example. New South Wales, southern coastal city of Wollongong is playing host to new apartment developments as Sydney signers seek out regional townships for cheaper housing or a weekend bolt hole for a mere apartments for a mere $2.64 million. It is absolutely astonishing. Look, this is just more spruiking. And look, here's a perhaps more truthful story. The fact is that for many people, Sydney homes are now unaffordable for more millennials. It's not the case, you know, that people can actually scrape a deposit today. So they're actually looking to leave. And that's true also in Melbourne as well. And so Sydney and Melbourne, and that's because, of course, mortgage repayments as a proportion of disposable income is continuing to rise. So my point is simply this. When you actually look at what people are writing, you know, you can occasionally get a glimpse, like, for example, the unaffordable story. But that other stuff, that's just, well, if it's not paid for advertising, it's as close to paid for advertising as you can get. And it just doesn't really tell you anything important.
Well, what it tells me, right, is it tells me that the order is trying to say, hold on a minute, there's over 55 accommodation being built in Townsville. So, yeah, that must mean that the people that are retiring in the North Shore, in the Inner West and in the Eastern Suburbs are going to be going out, are going to be retiring out there. It's ludicrous. It really is. People don't want to retire or don't want to downsize, you know, for more than 5 or 10 kilometres at your worst case scenario to where more than likely within the neighbourhood is where they want to retire, but there's nothing available. So the real solutions, as you and I have been talking about, in one of my sacred cows for a very long time, has been that small to medium density has always been the way to go, but for the NIMBYs that are now creating a rod for themselves, it's, you know, and they're going to fall on their sword. But for the NIMBYs, we didn't pursue that throughout the late 2000, we go from 2005, we went into high rise again because of the stamp duty and the tax fix that the governments also needed. So there was, that's a push. So we're now back to square one, except the difference now being obviously is the current immigration policy, which is really, really skewed the market again. But here we are. There's nothing we can do about that. We can only look at, you know, the markets that we're working in, where we can't change. You and I can't change government policy, and pretty soon, within 85 days, you and I are going to be gagged anyway. We can't say anything bad about anybody, and the Monday evening rants are going to be singing Kumbaya and how great is Domain and whatever other song they come up with. I don't know, but that's the way it's looking, right? That's the way it's going.
Well, yeah, and look, I know that Wollongong is God's country, right? And you know, the South Coast there is God's country. But really, when you think about what we're saying here, just reflect on the local economy in Wollongong and the homelessness rates and the difficulty that many people have finding anywhere to live in and around Wollongong. In fact, a lot of people who used to live in Wollongong now effectively have to go out and live further out from Wollongong because it's too expensive in Wollongong. I'm not sure that this necessarily helps much at all, other than, of course, it does help the construction industry to build more stuff and make a bit of a profit. And I suppose the Wollongong Council can get the stamp duty, but it doesn't seem to me to help the situation at all. And in fact, I would argue that it's one of the reasons why places like Shell Harbour and other places out from Wollongong are now, you know, booming like you wouldn't believe. Well, booming in terms of the number of people who live there in these little dog boxes, whether it's you know, high rise or low rise, and then of course have to commute into Wollongong for work. So once again, when you stand back and just think about it in the big picture, you've got to say these policies are really concerning. But as you say, we can't necessarily do more than just point a stick at it and saying, look, isn't this a bit crazy? But let's move on to talk about the auction in the Inner West, because I think this is a really, really interesting case study. And once again, it shows you need to understand what is going on the ground.
Look, this is not only understand what's going on in the ground Also get a background and get a snapshot at grassroots level, blow by blow, as to how people can take advantage of the situation. And obviously, I'll put this through on Saturday. I was there looking in an area where some of our clients want to buy into. This wasn't a property of interest for our clients. I just attended the auction. I was nearby and it was on, so I just attended the auction and also to catch up with some of the local agents that I know in the area, just to see what's going on. And also to see who the competition is buying in the area. So the blow by blow snapshot is there on my Twitter handle, Justin One. That can go the viewers and followers that aren't following me on Twitter, they can go and look that up and chase it and actually review it. It's on there. But the interesting thing, Martin, is what happened. The overview, what was going on, and the insights that I got from the auction auctioneer. After that, I had a good 10-minute chat with the auctioneer, and as I said, I also had a good chat with the selling agent, because obviously somebody that I've known for a number of years, let him know what that we've got clients looking for particular style of properties. And the interesting thing was the first point was the numbers of attendees at the auction versus the number of attendees throughout the marketing campaign. And talking to the agent, he had very strong numbers. We're talking about the inner west of Sydney, and he had very strong numbers throughout the campaign. So he was very confident that there was going to be a lot more registered bidders than there were on the day. He was expecting anywhere between 6 to 8 registered bidders on the day. There was 3 registered bidders on the day, and none of them moved forward with a bid. Throughout 95% of the auction time, and it was dragging, and it was hard, it was arduous for the auctioneer. He was sweating, and at the end, just before the vendor's bid came on, there was a really interesting bid, a lowball bid by one of the people that registered. Obviously, that was rejected, and the auction got passed in with a bidder's guide of 2 million. With a vendor's bid of 2 million. The guide was 1,950,000. So it's within the guide. It's currently on the market now for 2 million. So that's what happened on the day, right? And you could see that there was a lot of struggle there. The area was, as I said, it's the inner west of Sydney, which is a very sought after area for property currently. There are a lot of transactions happening. There's a lot of activity. You go to open house inspections anywhere, any part of the inner west of Sydney, and you could get anywhere between 12 to 20 groups of people at any given time. The first week, second week, third week of the marketing campaign. So the attention to the open houses are very strong because of the properties that are very much sought after in that area. As I said earlier, the mood was very interesting. Nobody wanted to place a bid. The auctioneer was absolutely struggling, and it made me think of our conversations and discussions. Is that it's not a bad thing, and that is that buyers aren't necessarily jumping in. I could tell that the buyers that were present, that were a lot more educated. The agents were scrambling left, right, and center, trying to get bids out of them, trying to do it, but they didn't budge. They held the ground. And this is the interesting part, what the auctioneer had to say to me in our conversation afterwards. So he's telling me about the auctions that he attended and he's been attending in his overview over the last 5 weeks. And that is very much on par with what you and I have been saying. And that is, he referred to last week's auction results for him. He said he had 13 registered auctions to attend to last week, the previous Saturday, of which 9 homes. Now, this is an agency that an agent that works the Inner West, Blaiseville, Hunters Hill, Dulles Point area, Five Dock, those areas. So it's a broad area and very sought after. It's a very strong market. Out of the 13 auctions that he had, 9 properties got bought prior, right? The cream of the crop got bought prior. 3 properties got passed in, and only one sold under the hammer on the day. So digging deeper and asking him further questions, and he said, look, over the last 5 weeks, his observation has been that the well-presented, let's call them the AAA properties get taken out early, before the auction. Putting words into his mouth, in the way my interpretation of it is, the lemons that get left behind, or those that need that have got issues, or the vendors are really over their expectations are over the top. They get left behind. So the not so appealing properties for either structural issues, building issues, or whatever issue it may be, get left behind, and even then they struggle on the day. So that was his observation, which is pretty much what you and I have been talking about, how the level of confidence. But again, it comes back to the, because of what then the locals they look at the auctions that actually do eventuate, and they look at the lack of participation. So that doesn't give them much confidence to put their property on the market by way of auction. And it's either by private treaty or otherwise. So it's a hard, the auction campaigns are very much on a quandary at the moment. Vendors are not sort of knowing what to do. They're not knowing how to read the market, as much as the selling agents will tell you, hey, look, we sold it before auction, we sold it, but there's no confidence. So if you can sell a property before auction, why can't you sell a property under a private treaty where I can spend a lot less money than what you're trying to get out of me by going all the way to auction, or by promoting a shorter campaign, as opposed to, if there's such high demand, why not stretch the campaign a little bit and get a little bit more? So there's a lot of questions that are being asked out there. So not dissimilar to what you and I have been talking about, Martin, which is rather interesting, but again, also to emphasize that, and also from what the auctioneer told me, is that buyers are hesitant to move forward with bids, and he's been finding it very, very difficult over the last 5 weeks.
That's really interesting. And I want to underscore something which you've just said, which I think people may need to just take a breath on. And that is, auctions are actually lemon magnets. What I mean by that is, if you have a good property that's fairly priced, before the auction, it will sell. And if a property has problems, structural problems, or actually it's massively overpriced or something else, or there is some other issue, it doesn't sell, it hangs around, it goes through the auction route, and ultimately it may or may not sell at auction. So in other words, when you actually rock out an auction, all of the really good properties have already been cleared and sold, and so you're left with the dregs, or as I call them, the lemons. So the new mantra for people to think about is, auctions equal lemon magnets. What do you think, Edwin?
We've got the announceables, the lemon magnets, and we this isn't something that I've come up with. This is from the horse's mouth. This is from, some may say, from the donkey's mouth, but it's from the horse's mouth, the auctioneer himself. So I'm just reporting on what this particular auctioneer, his observations, what he said over the last 5 weeks, and what he had last week, but understand the other side of that is, the other side, that the auctioneer still gets paid, whether he performs the auction or doesn't, he still gets paid. The vendor still pays for it. And this is why people are starting to question the marketing strategy and is that strategy. But we're going to talk about the numbers later on, and we're also going to keep on highlighting what's really happening on the ground. And also, as you said, and as you equate auctions with lemons, we're also going to have a glimpse of one of the properties that got bought at an auction, a lemon that got bought at an auction, and now what the owners are going through.
Absolutely. And just remind everybody, auctioneers get paid not on results, but on turning up. Just remember that.
Exactly.
Let's look at the numbers then, Edwin. So in Sydney, on the 8th of September, there were 21,207 properties in the Sydney region as defined by domain. And if we jump forward to the next week, you can see there that we move to 21,311, which is quite an interesting little move. And I'd highlight again, we've actually got houses and apartments. The land count is still, well, not that high. And we might have a conversation about that once we've looked at Melbourne, because in Melbourne, on the 8th, 25,151, a week later, 25,609. Spot the trend. And in Melbourne, of course, it's more houses. And it does look to me as though the land units are actually going down, Edwin, which is an interesting observation.
In terms of the land, the parcels of land, not a lot. They're still relatively high. I think there's a lot more subdivisions happening in Melbourne, in the outer regions of the Melbourne market, than there is in the Sydney regions. But with Sydney, in terms of the land envelopes, the parcels of land, or the home and land packages, they're still relatively high, and that is what's skewing the numbers, the overall numbers, and giving people a false impression that there's a lot more properties on the market than what they are last year. But when, as I say, where we look at pre-standing homes as a good observation of the market, is the trend there is we're pretty much on par with last year's numbers. But interestingly, the start of the spring selling season hasn't been as strong, I believe, as what many of the pundits and the mainstream are saying. Mm-hmm. I don't see that. There's only an extra 100 or so. And again, these are numbers according to domain. It may change. Don't know. It's just the beginning of the spring selling season. Melbourne is a different market in itself. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with a hell of a lot more on market all the issues that Melbourne are facing. I know the witch chatter is a jumping, bailing, but we've got a new contingency. We've got the new wave of buyers that are being spooked to buy down there, which is your silent tigers. They're not as educated into what's going on in Melbourne. And it goes back to what we were saying, it's the amount of spruiking that we get from the mainstream, many that have got their hands burnt are keeping away, and the newcomers are the ones that are going to be the new lambs to the slaughter in the Melbourne market, as far as I'm concerned, at least for the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. I still think the Melbourne market is relatively broken from a property perspective, but we'll see. Let's just look at Brisbane numbers. So in Brisbane on the 8th, 3,222, and jump forward a week, 3,202, so a slight fall in the Brisbane area, which is interesting. Brisbane is still pretty tight, and in fact, prices in the Brisbane region are still looking pretty strong. But the auctions numbers are quite interesting, Edwin. This is the ones for the current view of the world, and they're not massive. And it's interesting, you've put up the same chart for last year, and look at the difference in numbers. Isn't it interesting?
Look at the difference. This is what I'm saying, with the heat and the confidence both from vendors' point of view and purchasers at auctions' point of view, I think are a lot lower than what they were last year. We've got 712 properties going to auction this week, which is again the beginning of the spring selling season. But same week last year, we got 920. So we're still tracking well below the 2024 numbers. And it's really what people are watching on the ground. What is actually happening on the ground? Because one of the things that the neighbourhood will see, the performance of the actual auctions that are carried out on the day, more so than the even if they ask the agents what the house sold for, because the agents want to get the foot in the door, they won't tell the locals until they basically do a market appraisal, so they can put them on the database for future future seller. So what they're observing, I think it's lowering the confidence. Overall, especially the markets that are traditionally strong auction sale by auction markets, which is something that Charles Tarby and Ray Ellis from the chairman and the CEO of Century 21 mentioned. I've been sharing about on the show as well as on my social media accounts. So looking at the numbers, unfortunately, I didn't have the Excel spreadsheet, because the Excel spreadsheet's on my other laptop. Couldn't get it down. So, we're still tracking well below the 2024 numbers. So if you were to graph that out, map that out, the next line would reflect close to 250. Properties, less properties on the market by way of sale in the Sydney region. So it's and let's see if we can get up to the 1.1 like we did the following week on the in 2024. It's a big jump. We're sort of more or less asking for almost we're asking for another 500. Another 500 properties on top of the 700 that are currently on the market to come on for next week in order to match the 2024 exuberance.
Well, it'll be lemon season, won't it? There you go. We're going to see lemon season next week or two, so we'll see what happens. I should be fascinated to see whether, in fact, we get more lemons coming onto the market through the auction sequence, and whether the numbers go up. But I'm getting it from my one-to-one conversations too, that people are actually not feeling that confident. They actually are believing that the whole auction game is rigged, tick, that they don't necessarily end up with the best property available, tick, and you often, because of the emotion, end up paying more than you really should, tick. So, to my mind, people are getting smarter.
Okay, and let me say that there's nothing wrong with buying an auction as long as you're buying it at the price that you want to pay, that you believe the property is worth. But when you start mixing emotion, and then the problem here is, who lays the problem, Martin? The problem is that I've seen it, and I'm a believer that there's a lot more agencies that are using NCBs, non-committed buyers. That is the politically correct term now for these bastards. Because you can't call them dummy bidders anymore, because that is offensive, and we can get in trouble for it. So you've got a lot of these these shenanigans that are applied, and they do it in your face. Yeah, they do it in your face, and we're talking about people that are on actual real estate officers' payrolls. We've got the receipts. I've shown you the receipts, Martin. We've got the receipts. Of the conversations that I've had with selling agents across Sydney, and this is a problem. So if you can, as I said, it's an auction may be a good place depending on the motivation of the vendor as well. So it can work in your favour, providing you get it at the right price. You get under your conditions, terms and conditions, and you don't fall into the trap of that emotional trap where, and you can identify the NCBs, the dummy bidders, and you can basically tell them to piss off, or you know, say something on the day, and let's see. So, you and I would call them lemons if we paid the wrong price for it.
Yes.
But if you paid the right price. Hmm. And strategically bought them at the price that we want to buy the paper, but we know that we can get issues rectified a lot cheaper than what the owners of the vent or the selling agents would otherwise know. So it just comes back to the strategy and how you apply it.
Just as when you actually go and buy a lemon in a shop, you want to sort of check it out and make sure it's not too hard, not too soft, et cetera, right? And, yeah. You still need lemons.
Lemons are good for lemonade, right?
Exactly. But at the right price, and that's really the key point. Yeah. And unfortunately, there are so many people that I speak with who regret the decision they took because they got caught up in the moment and believed everything they were told, and we'll see in a second, including the wonderful little pamphlet, which is presented as a survey of the property as rather than being part of the marketing campaign. And bingo, let's just cover the rentals first, and then I'll get you to talk specifically about this horrific case that you mentioned a little while ago. Just on the rentals, in the Sydney region on the 8th, 10,318 properties, compared with 10,100 properties a week later, so just a small fall. And in Melbourne, 11,225 on the 8th, compared with 11,202 on the 15th. So again, a slight easing back, as you'd perhaps expect at this time of year. But again, Edwin, I'm still having conversations with people caught in the rental sector with another rental increased demand presented to them. And panicking about what to do, do they just pay up? Do they try and find somewhere else? Or worse, do they try and cut their losses and go buy a property? And unfortunately, the go buy a property route means often buying a very cheap, quote unquote, property a long way out with a lot of issues attached to it. So unfortunately, it's not a good look for many people who are caught in this in rental trap dilemma. And I've had a few people reach for me in the last couple of weeks with stories about how difficult it is. Do they pay the extra 10% rent just to stay there? The kids are in the local school, et cetera, et cetera. Or do they actually try and find something else and join the queue of 30 to 35 trying to find, the rental around the corner? Or do they actually jump on the... maybe now with the government's new schemes and things, maybe now's the time to buy. And then when you sit down and do the sums with them, they realise that that would be financially a disaster too. So it is a real sad sign.
It's Mandarin. It's something. It's a sad place. It highlights the how far we've gone to lose the great Australian dream. Yeah, it's where it's actually become a nightmare for many. In the rental space, there's so many moving parts, so much going on. There are so many costs, so many more costs that people incur when they're moving. Overlaps in weeks from leaving one place to making sure it's clean to actually occupying the moving. In some cases there's two. Even 3 weeks of an overlap of paying that double rent because of one reason or another, you have to make that move. So they're all the decisions that are forcing people, as you say, from your surveys, into paying that much more in order to stay, because that's how it is. And there were some articles that I was reading today with landlords taking advantage of that, which is these landlords need to be taken to task as well. As I say, as I've said, I'm on record saying, a lot of the legislative changes to the Tenancies Act and regulations, I'm in favour of. It's just the way that gets rolled out and gets thrown out. it makes it very hard for both sides. And more importantly is the fact that you've got very young, unskilled, untrained, not all, the majority, they start working in the property arena. They wouldn't know how to wipe their nose with a handkerchief, let alone trying to deal with a dispute, major dispute, where in one instance that I was told about 3 weeks ago, I mean, there were all sorts of threats and of the tenant releasing the dogs on the young property manager, to the point that he got so heated that the police had to be called. This is the shit that's going on out there, and this is because the industry, unfortunately, my industry, has moved towards cheaper, less educated, and outsourcing labor force and outsourcing all sorts of stuff in order to pay less. The unfortunate thing that I see over and over again is the people that mainly predominantly lose out, the tenants. In other ways, the landlords lose out as well. So, but the majority of the tenants, because of the industry moving to cheaper solutions, that rather than performing a better putting in place better trained, more skilled property management teams out there.
Absolutely. That's what it's about. And unfortunately, no end, I think, in sight, despite what the government might be positioning for. Well, as we come to the critical end part of the show, your tip of the week is also an object lesson in what not to do, Edwin.
Yeah. So as you'll show that video from my Twitter feed, Martin, on when people can actually see in detail what an unsuspected buyer, you could say unsuspected, or you could say over emotional buyer went in, had a superficial report, building report of the property, and paid, in my opinion, paid about 20% over the top of what the property was worth. As is, because they got caught up in the emotion, or just as a in, not as is, but as before even disclosing the issues. Not only did they pay 20% over the odds for the property, for the location, the land envelope, the style and state of the house itself. So they got all emotional. They got taken for a ride, in my opinion. But now they're facing a further 15% when you compare the price of the it's paid for the property, close to $2 million. Now they're paying a further 15%. To rectify the issues and fix it. So you're paying more because of the glossy brochures and everything shown to you is glossy and the staged furniture and this and that. Look, don't look at this, look over here, look at this nice bed over here, look at this nice drapery, look at this nice whatever, newly renovated bathroom. But don't look over the issues here. Don't open the built-in wardrobe where you can see the mold and you start questioning why the hell is the mold there. And if you did a proper investigation and find out that you've had active termites just eat half the house. So these are the issues, Martin. And this is what people. This is what happens when people jump in, not sifting through all that noise and all that, all those top stories or helicopter view stories and noise is what I call it. When they get caught up in the emotion, I would say. Overall, when you look at the property, the backwards, let's say, conservatively, the backwards 30%, so the market's got to go, it's got to come a long way before they can recover price they pay for it, as well as now the renovation price that they're going to be, that's going to cost them to rectify the issue.
Yeah, well, again, the object lesson is don't rely on that little marketing spiel you get, which is dressed up as a building survey report by the vendor, handed out as part of the deal when you actually are looking at a property. Get your own independent survey. It doesn't cost a huge amount, but from an insurance perspective and from a peace of mind perspective, you'll be much better off by doing that. The trouble is that if you don't do that and then you discover later that you've got significant issues, you've almost got no choice but to actually deal with those issues. And as you say, it can be not just a few thousand, it can be a massive amount relative to the value of the property. And of course, as well as the cost, you've got the disruption and all of the other inconvenience and all the worry that you go through as you try and get it sorted out. So we can only say it again and again, Edwin. Do your own due diligence.
This is what we highlight. I'll try and I've got to be careful, obviously, what I share and not disclose locations but this is something that people need to be aware of. And until they start seeing what we talk about, it's some people understand it, others need visual. And I think that video that I've posted on X, people will see. It's not just a matter of fixing a structural wall in the middle of the house. It's what it affects, the wet areas, it affects the wet areas, then you've got to do a whole laundry bathroom renovation, and then you've got it also affects kitchen, living areas. I mean, and the list goes on. And then that's notwithstanding, what I wasn't able to show was the parquet and rafters and ceiling joists as well, which are right next to the manhole. But hey, something maybe you got a bit of dust in the building inspector got a bit of dust as he was climbing up the ladder into the manhole in his eyes, and therefore couldn't see what was going on. That's maybe that's my what you call it? That's my way of giving him a lifeline.
Oh, well, there we go. Unfortunately, it is, an object lesson for us all. If you're buying property, do check it out carefully. Edwin, thank you very much for this evening's rant. Very interesting as always. Pleased to say the new computer held up okay. We might tweak the audio for next time if we can do that, but all good. And I'll look forward to the live show in 8 days' time, so Tuesday week at 8 p.m. Sydney. And folks, you can join Edwin and myself live to have another rant and join in. So I look forward to that. Have a good week meantime, and thanks once again, Edwin.
Martin, and looking forward to next Tuesday night.
See you. Take care. Bye-bye.